Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News. Tuesday, October 4th, 2022. Stand up for your country. One of the ways you stand up for your country is to vote. But I'm getting the feeling that the midterm election, as important as it is, and absolutely probably the most important midterm in my lifetime here as an American citizen, I get the feeling a turnout's going to be a little lower than people think. We live in an age of tribalism. We live in an age of self-centricity where people are caught up in whatever they do. There's not a unifying force in this nation at all now. And, you know, November 8th is going to roll around pretty fast. And people are, you don't have a Trump, you know, who's a magnet for love-hate. You don't have that. It's a lot of theory. The media has declined in visibility and in influence. So it's basically on the American people themselves. And that is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. Now, Republicans should be motivated. I mean, if you're a Republican or a conservative individual who's registered independent and you're not motivated now, you're never going to be motivated. Okay? Because the country has veered so sharply left. And there's so much insanity and destruction visible. You can see it. You can see it. That if you don't vote now, you're never going to vote. And then add to that the higher prices for everything and the pursuit of happiness declining all over the place. How many people are really happy? You know, we got to worry about our bills, got to worry about our jobs, got to worry about our kids and the culture. I mean, worry, 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 worry. So if you're a Republican or conservative, you're motivated to vote. Will you vote? I think you will in greater numbers than the Democrats. So the Democrats, there are tribes that will vote. The abortion tribe will absolutely come out. But those tribes are becoming more and more and more. They call it Balkanized. The Balkans are a region in Europe, and there are a lot of countries in the Balkan region, different places, different cultures. That's what's happening in the Democratic Party. Got the far, far left that are driving the power there. But most African Americans aren't far left people. They're not. They're people who want attention, who want fairness, who believe they've gotten hosed throughout history. I'm generalizing, of course. But are they happy with the Democratic Party? How could you be? I mean, the bad economics, inflation, real wages going down, affects African Americans the most because they have the least. So are you going to trot on out there? I don't think so. I think the African American vote's going to be suppressed. And that does not show up in the polls, by the way. It's not that the African Americans are going to pull the lever with the Republicans. I don't think so. More Hispanics will, though. That's for sure. It's a different situation, different culture, obviously. So I'm going to give you some stats now. Monmouth poll first. Not a reliable poll. This is a university in New Jersey. It's a good school. But they're not right a lot. However, they took a survey of 806 adults, 29% Democrat, 28% Republican, independent 43%. That's fair. That's fair. And they asked the following: do you approve or disapprove of the job U.S. Congress is doing? Approved 23, disapproved 66. So that's not a good sign for Congress. which is more important to you in deciding who to support for Congress, fundamental rights in the democratic process, or the economy and cost of living? Rights, democratic process, 38. Economy, cost of living, 54. So right there, you got to give the Republicans a big advantage, a 16-point spread. Okay? Next question, would you rather see Republicans or Democrats in control of Congress? Republicans, 36. Lean Republican, 11 for a 47 total. Democrats, 34. Lean Democrat, 10 for a 44. That's very tight. Tighter than I would think in this age of inflation and declining wages. It's tight, according to this poll. Final question. This is month to month. So in August 2022, which party you want to control Congress? Republicans, 43. Democrats, 50. And now, September, Republican 47, Democrats 44. That's a big sweep. Okay, so Democrats lost a lot of ground the past few weeks. Trafalgar poll. This is a better poll. It is fairly accurate, or has been in the past. 1,079 likely voters. Democrat 39, Republican 36, nonpartisan 25. First question, how much does the increase in the price of groceries impact your motivation to vote in 22? Very much, 51, somewhat, 17 for 68 plurality. Not much, 16, not at all, 16, 32. So that's a key right there. People are go to the grocery store, they have to go. Every time they go, they don't like the Democrats. Right? So price hikes, this is according to The Washington Post. Eggs up 40% from last year. 40%. Those chickens are living large. Butter up 29. Deli meats 18. Milk 17. Bread 17. Cereal 17. Canned vegetables 17. Potatoes 15%. So the things that Americans most eat are up substantially. Despite all this, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, fanatical progressive, doesn't particularly care about the country, in my opinion, my humble opinion, wants power, wants to keep power. So she goes on Colbert, you know, their brother and sister, and she says, hey, you know, Democrats are going to keep the House. Go.
Okay. Here's the thing. When we won in 2020, and again, fewer seats, but still holding the House, we started right away to prepare for the next election in terms of organization. Mm-hmm. Own the ground when you mobilize. You must own the ground to take out the vote.
And that's true. Democrats are much better at that than the Republicans. Now you'll say, oh, cheating, cheating, cheating. And yeah, okay, Zuckerberg pumps $500 million into the 2020 election. It's legal, even though he's being sued. But the Democrats, they know who the voters are. They know where they live. They're going up and they're going to knock on a door. Will it matter now that Trump's not in the equation? That's the key. But I would bet Pelosi, a fairly high wager, that she's going to be out of a job. Not going to be Speaker of the House come January. Now, the Senate is harder because you got guys like Herschel Walker. So Walker should win that seat in Georgia by a lot. All right, he's been on his program. I know him a little bit. But every 2 weeks, there's another scandal about Herschel Walker. And the latest one is that he had a girlfriend and he paid for an abortion for the girlfriend. Now, the news agency to put that out is a far left, revolting news agency, Daily Beast. You know, it's like, okay. And Walker went on Hannity last night and said this. Go.
I never asked anyone to get an abortion. I never paid for an abortion, and it's a lie. And I'm going to continue to fight. You know, I tell you, that's what they want. They want this seat.
Okay, here's what you got to do, Herschel. And I'm just talking to you like a human being here. This is a serious accusation. If you did it, you got to say you did it. I don't know how you do that, but you can't lie about it. If you did not do it, then you got to go after the Daily Beast. You got to have your attorneys sue them. And if there is a person alleging that she had an abortion, you got to sue that person. If you did not do it. And you have to do that now. So that the people in Georgia who are going, what the deuce is this? Every 2 weeks we got another child fathered by Mr. Walker or this or whatever. But if this is not true, then your lawyers have to mobilize now. And you have to hold a press conference with your lawyers and you have to say, this is false, it never happened, and we're going to file this against the Daily Beast. Now, if you do that, and indeed if you did not pay for an abortion, then that will turn that race around. You'll win your seat because Georgians will see you rightly as a victim of this smear. But if you did it, you're going to lose. Even if you admit you did, you're going to lose. And Warnock, who is as progressive as it gets, will win the Georgia seat that should be held by a Republican because the citizenry of Georgia is not basically progressive. Just two places are, Atlanta and Savannah. That's it. In that whole state, that's all. So when I see that, you know, I'm saying to myself, this is what might tilt the Senate to the Democrats or keep it tied when then Harris breaks the tie. Okay, another last one. And this is, most people see themselves as victims from time to time. I try never to do that in my own circumstance, although I have been victimized, and so have you. So have everybody. We've all been victimized. That's just part of the human condition. But according to a Pew study, and Pew is pretty good, that both sides, conservative and liberal, feel they are losing the culture war. Both sides feel they're losing. So 72% of Americans feel their side is losing. And it breaks down to 81% of Republicans and conservatives feel they're losing the culture war to the Democrats, and 66% of liberal Democrats feel they're losing the culture war to Republicans. That's just interesting. It's caught my eye. All right, Biden's schedule today did nothing. More reproductive health care. Okay. He's going to Florida tomorrow. I assume he'll be greeted by Governor DeSantis. We're tracking it. Nothing much. This is going to be more federal money that Biden signs over to Florida, which is a good. It has to happen in these storms. You know, Biden federal spending in 2 years up above $2 trillion now. Do you know that? $2 trillion in new spending, not stuff that he inherited. And that's why inflation is going crazy. You can't spend at that level. You drive the value of the dollar down. You know, your dollars don't mean anything if there's $2 trillion more in circulation. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. Okay. Here's I have to congratulate my staff for getting this data in a very short period of time because I'm a pest. I mean, I'm always calling them and saying, hey, we got to get this, we got to get that. So I wanted to know if any Democrat running for office in November, 5 weeks from today, if anybody had requested Joe Biden come in and campaign alongside them. Just give me one. No one. Now, Trump, as you know, is running around all over the place. Campaigning for Republicans who ask him to come in. Not one Biden. Nobody. My staff found it out. We went over all the races. Nobody wants Biden. What does that tell you? Oh, boy. All right, Doug Schoen. Here he is, everyone, our go-to election guy, Democratic political strategist, but an honest man. And he studies his stuff every day. He's kind of in shadow here. Where are you? Are you in some office someplace, or you're not in your house?
I'm in an office that is dimly lit, Bill. My apologies.
It's all right. You look better.
Thank you.
That was a cheap shot. I didn't really mean that, though.
No, come on. Come on.
All right, so we ran down a whole bunch of stuff. And the most important to me is the groceries. So, yeah, people. So, I don't know. You know a lot of Democrats. How, if you're a Democrat, can you vote Democrat with all the bad stuff happening in the country?
Well, two things, Bill. First, what you said about groceries is that inflation is a lot higher than the 8 to 10% we're being told. And people feel that. That's number one. And number two, what Democratic candidates are doing is not only not campaigning with Joe Biden, they're running away from the Democratic Party, the national leadership, and the ideology of the Inflation Reduction Act and big spending. So my party is literally in retreat.
All right. So they are banking on abortion and other niche issues in their own states to win. That's what I'm getting here, right? They're not going to run on the national issues. They're trying to get a localized issue with abortion in the forefront.
They are, but the polling that I think we discussed last time, and certainly the case now, abortion is receding as an issue as inflation and the cost of living are becoming more and more important, which is what's helping the Republicans. And the Democrats, as you suggested, and correctly, Bill, are out of ideas.
Okay, so the Democrats don't really have anything to run on. If you were consulting for a Democratic Senate candidate, what would you tell them? Run on what?
I tell them you're standing against the national party, you stand against their positions, and you're for the local citizenry of whatever state it is against Washington. That's what I tell them. Not a great argument.
We're not seeing a lot of, hey, let's seal up the border again from Democratic candidates anywhere. We're not seeing that. And that's a huge issue. We're not seeing that Joe Biden's incompetent on the economy. And they never say that because they need the money coming out of the Democratic campaigns. They need funding, right?
All true. To me, the big issue, particularly in states like Arizona and Nevada, where there are two competitive Senate races, is the border. And that issue in and of itself could be enough to give the Republicans control of the Senate.
But Kelly, who's going to win in Arizona, I believe he's a Democrat there. He's a gun guy. And he, you know, he basically says, I want law and order down on the border. I mean, he's not an open border guy. And the candidate against him doesn't seem to be making any headway. Laxalt in Nevada, I think, will win. And it's not even as close as they polls say it is out there. I think he's going to win fairly easily. But let's go to Walker in Georgia. Do you disagree with my analysis there?
No, not at all, Bill. Herschel Walker should be 5 to 10 points ahead, as Governor Kemp is. And Herschel Walker, if he is able to credibly maintain that he didn't pay for the woman's abortion, does have a 50-50 chance of winning. But as you pointed out correctly, the narrative is about Herschel Walker personally, not about Republicans and Democrats and the issues facing us. If that happens, it only hurts Herschel Walker.
Now, I have said that I believe that African-American voters will not turn out in the numbers they did 2 years ago. Do you believe that?
I tend to agree with it, because African-Americans usually vote in presidential elections more heavily. The Trump factor motivated them, some for him, more against him. And this year, the Democrats do not have a motivating theme or issue or argument to get minority voters out. And your point about Hispanics is exactly right. The Republican percentage there is well over 40% and growing.
What about the violent crime issue that the Republican senatorial and congressional contacts are hitting very hard. Why wouldn't the African-American community suffering at the hands of violent crime, more so than the white affluent community, obviously, why wouldn't they turn against the Democrats who are making the violent crime easier? Why wouldn't they vote Republican?
Two reasons, Bill. First, the Democrats have managed to racialize the issue so that if you're pro-law and order, you're pro, cop and pro-Republican. But second, the Republicans haven't made that argument, Bill, the way you make it, which is that the importance of the crime issue to minorities is much more important to them than to the majority white community. If the Republicans did it, it would only advantage them with minorities.
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane if you look at the stats and the victimization, the violent crime victims in places like New York City and Chicago. It's 80-85% of the victims of violent crime are black. And it's black on black crime. Now whites killing them.
Right.
And you're right. I haven't seen that really in the forefront. Now, Donald Trump, the Democrats obviously want him in the next 5 weeks to be a part of the election so they can mobilize people who hate Trump. How do you think that Trump, or are you seeing any difference in Trump's demeanor now that the midterms are closing in?
I think Trump is toning down his act a good deal, Bill, at least from what I see. And the media at this point is giving him less attention than they had previously during the raid and when the January 6 hearings were in full swing. So my sense, as the election approaches, Trump will be less and less important to how people vote, except for the hardcore Democrats who hate Trump and will be voting against the Republicans, regardless of Trump nor no Trump in the mix.
But the January 6th committee is going to drop their final report, I'd say within 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and try to make Trump the center of it again. Trying to say, okay, Trump did it. That's what they're going to do. And everybody knows they're going to do it. Will that bring Trump back in as a factor in the midterms?
It will bring him back if, one, the media tries to make him, which I think they will. But number two, how Trump reacts. If Trump has a discreet and specific comment, rebuts it, and then moves on, it will be far less potent as an issue against the Republic.
I don't know if I'd count on that, Doug.
I've got a Trump segment coming up.
All
the trends are benefiting the Republicans, as you suggested, with the Monmouth poll, and the data is pretty clear for the reasons you suggested in your talking points memo, and your audience should remember that.
Well, they will remember because I'm so obnoxious, I remind them every 2 minutes. I'm not going to make a prediction now. I will make it probably 2 weeks before the election, and that's when we'll talk to you again, because things change so far. But right now, if the election were held tomorrow, I would say Republicans will win both the House and the Senate. And I think you think that too, Doug, right?
I do think that, yeah.
Right. And we appreciate it.
The conventional wisdom is to the contrary.
Yeah, but conventional wisdom, come on. We're much smarter than that. You know they.
I'd like to think so, Bill.
Hey, Doug, it's always great talking to you. Thanks very much. The audience loves you. The audience loves you. I get so much positive mail on you, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Well, I appreciate the chance to talk with you. It's always a pleasure, Bill.
Okay. All right, Kamala and Corinne. Kamala and Corinne, everyone. So Vice President Harris got in trouble because she suggested that the federal aid given to Florida because of Ian, the hurricane, should be given out on a race-based preference. Color should dictate that African-Americans get the money first, whatever. But no. Corinne Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson, we all got it wrong. That's not what Kamala really said. So first we'll have Kamala. Then we'll have Corinne. Go.
We have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities. and do that work.
The vice president was clearly talking about long-term investment, not FEMA aid for hurricane response efforts. The vice president and the president have been clear that the federal government has been and will continue to be there for all Americans recovering from these devastating storms.
Well, the last part of her statement is true. The White House backed away fast from Harris's comments. But the first part of Ms. Jean-Pierre's statement is false. She wasn't talking about long term. She's talking about Ian and the FEMA money going to Florida because of Hurricane Ian. That's what she was talking about. So this kind of it's spin, but it's really lies. But, you know, look, almost all press secretaries do it, but not at the extent of Jean-Pierre does it. I mean, she's just lifted that spin bar so high. You don't even have to stoop to do the limbo anymore. You can just walk right under it. Trump, okay. He's suing CNN, defamation, $475 million. I'm sure you heard this. He says that this network, cable news network, is trying to prevent him from running again in 24, and they lie about him all day, every day. So that's in play. And then he says, after the January 6th committee releases a report, if you tell you, being any news agency, if you tell your viewers and listeners that I wanted the violence at the Capitol, I'm going to sue you too. So that's what Trump's doing. Okay. Will he win? No. Does he know he won't win? He knows he won't win, or at least his lawyers do. But his lawyers get paid, so why not do it? Right. The reason he won't win is because the media is constitutionally protected. So if they want to go on and say Trump did X, Trump did Y, Trump did X, Trump did Y, they can do it with exceptions. If they did what they did to Herschel Walker in a very specific window, Trump may be able to then go in and win the case, but this is too general. But it doesn't matter because Trump wanted to do two things. He wanted to mobilize or re-energize the MAGA base. So now Trump's back as the Avenger. He's going after CNN. And that MAGA base, they love that. So that's a political move, and that's why he did it. The second thing is this dopey new book out of anti-Trump book, but it's Trump's fault. He gave this woman, Haberman, three interviews, even though Haberman has, you know, battered him for 5 years, 6 years. Believe me, I get interview requests all the time. If I know somebody batters me and has been dishonest about me, and certainly Haberman has, she led the Russian collusion stuff. Why would I ever talk to you? I would never do that. But this is the fame addiction. This is what I talk about in Killing the Legends. Fame envelops you. So Trump says, yeah, I'll talk to her. You know, I know she's going to bash me anyway, so I might as well. But it helps her anti-Trump book. So the book comes out today. This is designed to take a little bit of attention away. But the big thing is to energize the MAGA base. Okay, now, I was on with Charlie Kirk. You may know him on the radio. And he asked me about Trump. Roll it.
What do you think President Trump, what do you think his role in the midterms is going to be? I mean, you're around him quite often. You did a tour with him. You know, there's whispers that he's going to announce for president soon. How do you think he factors into this midterm election?
I hope he disappears. Because it doesn't do Republicans any good to have Donald Trump around the midterm elections. It's an issue-oriented vote. So the Democrats desperately want to make it about Trump, which is why the bogus January 6th committee in the House will release their findings probably 2 weeks out before the vote to try to center independent voters on Trump again. See, it's the independent voters, Charlie, that always make the difference.
All right. So that's good advice. I mean, if you're Donald Trump, or if you're the Republican Party, and Donald Trump was a Republican president, just play a lot of golf. Okay, let this vote be about issues, not emotion. The reason Donald Trump lost is emotion. Donald Trump did a good job. And we've gone over that and over that and over that and over that. And there's no question he did. If any of your friends or coworkers what tell you that as president, Donald Trump did not do a good job, just walk away. Inflation 1.3%. Come on. Real wages up 3.5% for everybody across the board. That's the average. Remain in Mexico policy, stop the madness on the border. The only thing that didn't really impact was violent crime because the federal government can't control the crazy leftist local DAs and governors. So now, let the folks vote on what Biden's done. Take Trump out of it. So there's an interesting story in New York City. Got about 3,000 migrants who have come here. People who will cross the border illegally, waiting for asylum, whatever they are waiting for. And Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, he's appalled by all this because city's got to pay the bills. Got to put these people in housing, get them food, get them clothed, all of this. Okay? So Adams yesterday said this.
I don't know if you have really picked up what's happening. The far right is doing the wrong thing. The far left is doing nothing. I mean, the silence, I don't believe the silence that I'm hearing.
Well, the far left opened the border, Mr. Mayor, but I don't feel sorry for you. Here's what you said a couple of weeks ago. Go.
You pledged during your campaign to keep New York City a sanctuary, a city. Do you have any concern that policy is attracting more people to the border, more people to cross the border to make that dangerous trip?
No, not at all. The city has always been a sanctuary city, and we've always managed those who wanted to come to New York City to pursue the American dream.
Not now. You're not managing you don't want them there now. You're screaming about it now. Oh, yeah, we're a sanctuary city, but don't come here because we got to pay your bills. Well, who do you think's paying the bills down on the border? Come on. Well, it's easy to be noble, right? Easy to be virtuous. We're a sanctuary city. We want to help the downtrodden. We want to help the poor. Yes, but don't come here. No, it's like the Martha's Vineyard thing. So there's Adams going, oh, there's silence. Hey, it's you and all the other dopey mayors and governors who impose sanctuary cities. That's what led to this. Poland. Never been to Poland. One of the few countries in Europe I haven't been to. So Poland got hosed in World War II, re-killing Patton, if you want to know how bad they got. Nazis went in, killed millions of Poles. It was awful. 6 years of Nazi occupation. So now Poland says to Germany, we want reparations. We want $1.3 trillion. So the foreign minister of Poland has now sent an official correspondence to Germany saying, we want $1.3 trillion. So the Germans, what do they get? Nine. They're not going to do it. They wouldn't even pay their fair share for NATO or help Ukraine the way they should. The Germans are in for the Germans. Always been that way in that country. But I thought that was interesting. Smart life. So a friend of mine, Mike Breen, he's the play-by-play guy for the New York Knicks. He also does other basketball all over the place. Great guy, Fordham grad. Lives in my area. His house burnt down. He was out on the West Coast vacationing with his wife, and his house burnt down. And he lost everything. All right? So I'm looking at this, and I immediately texted Breen. I said, look, anything I can do, and I got a guest wing, you and your wife want to stay, whatever. Breen's a good guy, okay? Known him for a long time. So one of the things when I'm watching this is Breen lost every bit of memorabilia he ever had, his kids' pictures, sporting stuff, everything. Now, you can replace the threads and the stuff you lose materially, but you can't replace the other stuff. So I asked my staff to explain to me how I could save all my pictures and my kids' pictures and all of that on a hard drive, and they gave me this sheet, okay? Now, I am incapable. I'm going to have to hire a 12-year-old, but apparently you can do that. Of all your pictures, you can save it on a hard drive somewhere and put it somewhere outside your house, so if your house burns down, you'll lose anything. But what I'm going to do is buy a big fireproof safe. And then some people say, well, they don't always stop the fire. But in a smart life situation, there are things that you want to keep forever. And one of them is mementos of your life, okay? And so I'm looking around. If you guys know about a big safe that's fireproof, I will buy it. And I hope Breen and you just don't understand why this kind of stuff happens. This day in history, October 4th, 1957, 65 years ago, a television show debuted that every baby boomer remembers. Roll the tape.
You're gonna be expelled out of the second grade? Who gave you that crazy idea?
Miss Canfield gave me a note to take home.
A note? Well, what's in it?
I don't know.
It's a note, all right. There's a lot of writing in there. Why didn't you give it to Mom?
I'm scared of what's in it.
But you don't know what's in it.
That's what I'm scared.
All right, so Leave It to Beaver debuted 65 years ago today. It never was a hit. It never cracked the top 30 shows in 6 years on the air, but every boomer remembers it, okay? It's almost inexplicable. Well, you go Leave It to Beaver, everybody knows what it is, but it wasn't a giant hit. So Jerry Mathers, he kind of left acting after that. He's the Beaver. He's 74 years old today out in California. He worked as a commercial loan officer at a bank. Tony Dow, the older brother, he just died in July at 77 from liver cancer. He did act. Barbara Billingsley, the mother, she acted as well, didn't get a lot of roles. She died at 94 in 2010. Hugh Beaumont, the father, he was a script writer after the show. He died in 1982 at 73. But interestingly enough, he went back to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and became a Christmas tree farmer. And finally, Eddie Haskell, Ken Osmond, one of the greatest sitcom characters of all time. He was a LAPD guy. He died at age 76 2 years ago. And basically was a middle-class guy. All right, he was awarded a lifetime pension after he was shot in the line of duty in L.A. Okay, Leave It to Beaver, 65 years ago today. Back with the mail and final thought in a moment. All right, let's get right to the mail. Sylvia, message board, Biden's not as dumb as he looks. Everything's happening, has his full consent. He allows himself to be manipulated. He doesn't care. At the end of the day, he will go back to his lovely mansion. You're breaking my heart with at the end of the day, Sylvia. Ugh. But anyway, I don't think Biden is in full mental capacity mode. Scott, Jill Biden is a person most responsible for the current situation. She knew her husband was going downhill, but let him run anyway. I think that's true. Marissa, Vice President Harris only wants black people to get federal aid from Hurricane Ian. Coming from the administration, shouldn't a racist comment like that elicit some kind of backlash? Well, it has. I mean, made Vice President Harris even less popular among many millions of Americans. But she didn't say she only wants black people to get federal aid. She did not say that. She says she wants black people to go to the front of the line. BJ, thank you, Bill, for reminding me to step back from annoyances. I've been stressed because of these. It'll make your life a lot better. I can't tell you how annoyed I was yesterday. It was like up here. And I just I had to take the terror dog for a walk. I had to get out. And it diminished, but they can kill you. Jerry, not only are the pollsters dishonest and skew the results, the people that answer the polls are dishonest, which provides for a double down. How do you know that, Jerry? How do you know the people being polled are dishonest? I don't think they're dishonest. I think it's the polling companies themselves. Hugh Nowak, Cascade Charter Township, Michigan. The most interesting aspect of your conversation with Dr. Lieberman concerning the mental acuity of President Biden was when you asked about First Lady Jill Biden. Although it doesn't take a psychiatrist to know, Mrs. Biden must realize the state of her husband's mind and overall cognition. Why do you continue to insist that she and the president's other handlers will not try to get him reelected? Because it's impossible to get him reelected. It's impossible. Just never, never would he win. That's how bad he's been. And everybody knows it. Okay, Nick Mattia, East Meadow, New York, right around my corner. Just finished reading Killing the Legends. Very, very interesting. Killing the Legends. I hope you get it. You'll like it. It's a history book. That's what I got to sell. Most people, they don't get the history of these three guys and how they affected the way we live today. Word of the day, do not be malefic. M-A-L-E-F-I-C. Malefic. Don't be that. Back with a final thought in a moment. Final thought of the day, on the internet, they have my SAT scores, okay? And they say, when I graduated from high school, I had an almost perfect SAT of 1585. This is on the internet. Not true. It's not close to being true. I think I had 500 points lower than that. Now, even though this helps me, because it makes me look very smart on the internet, it's not true. Now, the powerscore.com put it up, but they say, well, we haven't been able to confirm the validity, but it's there. And then I'm trying to tell you about the internet, even though that helps me, I don't want it there. I was lucky I broke 1,000 in the SATs. I was a dopey kid. Still a little dopey, but it's much smarter now. Don't believe on the internet, please. All right. Thank you for watching and listening, our radio listeners all across the country, to the No Spin News. We'll see you tomorrow.